You're listening to Unusual Sources on CFMU Radio 93.3 FM, or you can catch us online at cfmu.ca. Well, January 1st of this year, we had a big increase in the Ontario minimum wage. And, this is a great thing for low-income workers. It'll make a significant improvement, I'm sure, in their lives. But there's been some glitches, particularly in the fast food sector, and particularly a few franchisees from Tim Hortons. So I've got on the line Anthony Marco. He's the president of the Hamilton and District Labor Council, and one of the problem stores has been in our area, the Dundas Tim Hortons. So, Anthony, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Okay, so maybe you can give me the background of what's happened here in Dundas and a number of other stores across Southern Ontario.
Sure. And a lot of this has really just evolved over the past week or so. So we've had, as you mentioned, there was the rollout of the new minimum wage, plus a whole bunch of other regulations and new legislation with regards to employment, not only employment, but unionizing, all that stuff. But the focus on a lot of them has been the minimum wage increase. And about a week ago, there was kind of this moment where out of Cobourg, Ontario, somebody up there took a picture of a memo that had gone around to staff, which detailed the fact that they were finding ways to claw back money from the employees in order to pay for the minimum wage increase. So the example that they had there was that they were no longer going to be paid for breaks. And a lot of people will ask, how can they not pay for breaks? Well, one of the ways that they're doing it, and we found out similarly that they were applying this at the Dundas location on Coutts and York, is that over the course of a shift, instead of giving somebody two 15-minute breaks, which are paid for, they'll move those two 15-minute breaks to a half-hour, quote-unquote, lunch, which they don't have to pay for. So that's the way that they're trying to get around it. That came out to us as a labor council from some of our local activists who have been using that and going to that Tim Hortons franchise for a long time and just talking with some of the workers there. Because, you know, if you go to either a retail or a service establishment or a restaurant, you get to know some of the workers who work there. And through some of those conversations, we learned that in fact had happened at that franchise. Since then, we've learned it's been happening all across the province in different places. But we decided that as a labor council, one of the ways that we could kind of let people know, especially in the Dundas area, was to gather up and make sure that people knew that if you want to respect the workers, make sure that you talk to the management, talk to the franchisee, and let them know that this isn't an acceptable way to treat the workers who have just started to appreciate, many of them, a $14 minimum wage.
Yes. So, particularly important or relevant to Hamilton, I think the very first Tim Hortons store was here in the city.
Well, exactly. And beyond that, the Cobourg location specifically, which has been brought up a lot of times in the news, and they're doing a rally there today as well, is actually owned by the son and daughter-in-law of Ron Joyce. It's like Ron Joyce and Tim Hortons' next generation own that franchise, and they own a bunch of other franchises. So that was one of the real big slaps in the face, is that you have a family who's worth well over $1 billion who's deciding to nickel and dime their employees at that location. And of course it's happening in other places as well, and it's not necessarily billionaires or anything like that, but in order to buy a Tim Hortons franchise, you have to show that you have at least a net worth of, I think, $1 million to $1.5 million. So in many cases, this isn't the small mom-and-pop business that we're talking about. Even though we're talking about individual franchises, we're not talking about a small shop, you know, that's independent, that's trying to cope with this, which has its own challenges as well.
Right, yeah. The mom-and-pop independent shop, it sure isn't, because I think most of the stores have quite a few employees, don't they?
Well, I think it depends on the size. I heard that the average amount that they have is somewhere between 25 and 30, but I think a lot of that is because they have very few full-time employees and quite a few part-time employees. So what we've heard from the full-time employees is that there is also clawbacks happening on their benefits now. We don't hear that because the part-timers never had benefits, but some of the full-time people have talked about clawbacks and benefits. But we chose this particular store mainly because it was the first one that we heard of in the Hamilton area. And we thought, you know what, let's call the attention to this now. Over the next couple of days, we're hoping that we're going to start to piece together some of the puzzle pieces and see where this franchise owner might own other franchises in the city, because we anticipate if he or she did it at one franchise, then they probably did it at another one as well. And it's not just Tim Hortons. I mean, we're going to be looking across the board. We've heard some interesting tactics that have been used by places like Sunset Grill, where they're clawing back more of their servers' tips in order to pay. It's really a shame that for workers who are working for minimum wage and just trying to claw their way through being working poor and living in poverty, that their employers are finding ways to take that money back from them right off the bat.
Yes, it certainly is. And you know, even with the increase to $14 throughout Southern Ontario, I was just on the website of Living Wage Ontario. Yeah. There's still at least a few dollars below what's been calculated as a living wage. So they still really do not have a good income, but it's certainly a big improvement.
It's a big improvement. And as you said, living wage in Hamilton has been calculated around $15.85. It's due for a recalculation next year, I think. So, I mean, it's still almost two full dollars under that. And the simple truth of the matter is that minimum wage has been artificially low for about 20 years now. There were a lot of minimum wage freezes that happened in the mid-90s when we had the Mike Harris government in Ontario. And it has really not caught up since then. There has been a group of small businesses. Don't get me wrong, there are some small businesses who really respect the idea that we need to have an increased minimum wage or a living wage, and they're trying to find ways around that. And there are notable stories that are happening every day about those businesses. But some of the small businesses who are complaining that it's too quick, I can understand that they're having to deal with some challenges now. But when you really think about the fact that people have been working for poverty wages for 20 years, to me, too quick isn't an argument. It may be challenging, but understand that an entire generation of people have been working full-time in poverty. It used to be that when you worked a full-time job, there was no way that you would possibly be in poverty. People used to raise families and buy houses and buy a car on one full-time job. I'm not saying we need to go back to quote-unquote glory days, because that's not necessarily, there were a lot of problems with that generation as well. But we do need to make sure that wages keep up with the cost of living, and they certainly haven't over the last generation.
Right, and the statistics are showing a growing gap between the wealthy and the poor. So this will be a much needed correction to that trend.
Exactly, and you know that one of the reasons that I mean we're not the Labour Council itself isn't doing anything like a boycott. We only ever do a boycott when we're requested to do so by the employees, and the employees there haven't asked us for a boycott. There are individuals that I've seen across the city who are saying that we're going to boycott, we're not going to go to this Tim Hortons, or we're not going to go to Tim Hortons at all. That's people's personal preference. But our purpose today, we're going to be, you know, out in front of the location and just lining the streets, and hopefully as people drive in or drive by or at a stop sign, if we can hand them some information, let them know what's going on. You know, it's really about informing people, because we think that the parent company, which is RBI, which is owned by a company in Brazil, we think that if the brand starts to suffer because of this, and they've already admitted that they don't want their franchisees taking a hit at the brand because of this, that ultimately something is going to be done. And certainly if the franchisees feel the need to go to their parent company and say that we need to increase prices by a couple of cents here, I don't mind paying an extra few cents on everything if I know that the employees in a location are being paid a half decent wage.
Right. And so today it's at 5 o'clock in Dundas.
It's from 5 to 5 o'clock until 6:30. We're basically trying to catch the rush hour crowd home. The idea is to basically just line the sidewalks for a couple of blocks and, you know, let people know. And we've gotten some good publicity on this as well. So we anticipate people are going to expect to see us there. And it's really just a show of support to show, you know, as much as we criticize the company, we want to make sure that we show that we're supporting the workers. And oftentimes, because those workers are non-unionized workers, they don't get a chance to have a voice themselves, because they're afraid that if they come out and voice these concerns, they can be terminated for almost any reason whatsoever, because they don't have the protection of a collective agreement. So that's one of the reasons that we want to get out there and make this clear. And we set up a website just the other day called whatmybossdid.com, and we're already getting emails pouring in on there about not just Tim Hortons, but other locations as well, other things across the city, where people are saying, this is how my employer is trying to treat the new minimum wage rules and the new legislation. So we are already planning future pickets and rallies and protests.
Oh, very good. And you know, are there any organized Tim Hortons franchises that you know of?
There are a couple. There's one that just recently happened in Winnipeg, and there's one that I think there's only two in the entire country right now, two or three in the country. The nice thing about the new legislation under Bill 148 is that it does say that with any chain that has franchises in a geographic area can now be organized under a single collective agreement. So one of the big challenges to organizing fast food workers in the past has been the fact that every single location needed its own collective agreement. Under the new legislation, if one Tim Hortons in Hamilton were to get a collective agreement, then if other Tim Hortons workers chose to affiliate with the same union, they could be under the same collective, just placed under the same collective agreement. So that's a big benefit. That can solve a lot of problems. And I think it's really just a matter of one domino falling. If one Tim Hortons in Hamilton were to get organized and get a wage that was very competitive with a lot of the other Tim Hortons, you'd maybe start to see a lot of the other restaurants say, hey, why aren't we getting those benefits, those wages, that seniority right, all of those things as well.
So that might be another improvement that we could see under Bill 148, that removing some of the barriers to organizing workplaces.
There's certainly language in there about that. It does speak to the fact that employers now have to share the employee lists with any union who's trying to organize. And that's an important thing, because trying to fight for those employee lists, because you want to make sure that what used to happen in the past is you used to have to get a certain vote, whether that was 50% or 2/3, depending on the sector, in order to make sure that you got a union, you were able to affiliate with a union. And all of a sudden, and this is very old school management techniques, but they would hire 10 people at the last minute and say, well, now you haven't met your 50% or your 60%, therefore you can't organize. So what basically happens now is they have to provide a list, and that list will be frozen as of a certain date. And so here are the people that you can go and talk to, and if you get those people voting, you get the right percentage of those people voting, then you have the right to move forward and organize. So there's some language in there that's been really helpful with regards to organizing, especially precarious workers, people who are don't necessarily have collective agreements, don't necessarily have full-time jobs, and don't know what their shifts are going to be from week to week.
Good. So I really am glad that Hamilton and District Labor Council is doing this, supporting some of our more vulnerable and low-paid workers. Labor standing together, whether unionized or unorganized, it's an important action, and I congratulate the Labor Council on supporting Tim Horton workers in this way.
Well, thanks a lot, and we hope we've got at least a couple hundred who said they're coming out, and we've got on our Facebook page, it scares us. We actually had about 1,500 say they're interested. If we had that many people show up in Dundas, I think we might shut the town down. I'm not sure.
Well, that's great news indeed. Okay, Anthony, thank you. Thank you so much for your work and the work of your colleagues with the Labor Council.
Thanks for having me. It's been good.
Okay, thank you. And that was Anthony Marco. He's the president of the Hamilton and District Labor Council, and speaking about the rally right now in Dundas at the Tim Hortons in support of their workers. If you are listening right now and you're in the Dundas area, why not go by and support those workers? We're going to be back with more of Unusual Sources after this short break.